Jesus, we look to you now, Lord. Our eyes are upon you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way, God. Jesus said to them that believe on me, as the scriptures said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, that those who believed in him would later receive. Well, the Holy Spirit has been poured out, is being poured out, and we have received the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so out of our hearts, out of our belly, out of our spirit, amen, the living water is to flow. As we cooperate with God in this, the Holy Spirit prompts you and you step out in faith. Amen. God gives you a word, you speak that word. Amen. God gives you a revelation, be faithful to share that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today that you reign over all supreme. Jesus, you are Lord over this house, over this gathering today. And Satan, you are on notice. You are rejected today. Hallelujah. You are defeated in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Lord, you have all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. And you have delegated that authority to us, your people, Lord. So in your name, Lord, we stand today. And say, Lord, let your will be done in this house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to come against any religious spirit that's here today. I renounce you. I reject you. And I call you out. And I command you to leave in Jesus' name. And to declare liberty to every captive here today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the liberty wherewith you have set us free and made us free, and you keep us free in the grace of God so we can move, Lord, with you, in harmony with you, and accomplish your kingdom purposes here in the earth. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus, we declare freedom from sickness, freedom from disease, freedom from tormenting spirits, freedom from all demonic spirits in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Take your hands off in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I declare liberty to the captives. Open the eyes of our hearts today, Lord. And open the blind eyes in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Give us ears to hear what you are saying. Ha. Hallelujah. I want to just take a moment right where you're at. Let's do that one more time. Let's lift our hands to the Lord open. All right. To give the Lord a hug. Amen. Give the Lord a hug today. Lord, we just open our hearts, our arms to you. We embrace you. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. And I invite you to come into every part of me, every room, every void. Fill me up completely to overflowing for your glory. Make me a vessel of honor for your use. Thank you, Jesus. I receive that.
A few nights ago, I was watching YouTube and listening to some Christian music. It really inspired me. And the presence of the Lord came down so strong on me. I was just weeping in the presence of the Lord. It was awesome. It was just so great. And when that was all done and everything, I just said,
okay,
wait, I've got to go write something down. And so the Lord gave me some stuff to write down. The title of it, I Have Never Changed. When you were going through your deepest sorrow, I was there. When you were beat down and discouraged beyond measure, I was there. When you gave up and threw your hands in the air, I was there. When you despaired of life and you thought there's no more hope for me, I was there. When your world came crashing down and you couldn't see any hope, I was there. I have never left you nor forsaken you. And I've always loved you beyond measure. I have never given up on you because I am the one who stands by your side and have determined to carry you through the victory because I have paid the full price for your redemption and I can't help myself. I promise to present you faultless before my Father. I shed my blood and was beaten so that you could receive healing in my name. When you gave up on me, I never gave up on you. When you doubted me, I never doubted you, because I am your strength, and my promise to you will always be true. I am determined to see you through every problem. I never change, and am calling out to you to seek my face and to seek my love for you so that you will walk hand in hand with me. I am your dearest friend and will never let you down. So keep trusting in me and open up your heart and receive all that I have for you, and you will be blessed beyond measure. And we will go into eternity with joy and satisfaction that my love was sufficient for you.
Wow.
For I never change. My love for you will never die. I am the Lord who makes a way for you to walk in my light, and my presence will never leave you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for everything. Without the cross, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't be where we're at today. We would be without hope in the world. But Jesus, in his mercy, laid down his life for us. And now we should lay down our lives for the brethren. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word sober means literally to abstain from wine or intoxicants. In other words, we're instructed to be clear-headed. And vigilant means to stay alert as one who is in danger. If any of you have been in the military and you've been on guard duty, you understand the importance of being vigilant, of staying alert while you're watching out for your comrades, right? And I know that sounded communist, didn't it? But you get the point, right? But we are to be vigilant as if we are on guard duty, not only for ourselves, but for each other. It's important that I guard myself because as I guard myself, I'm also protecting you from myself. How many know you are all influencers here today? We're going to influence one way or another. So the Bible says we are to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. It affects everything you do. We have to guard our eye gates, our ear gates, amen, what we're saying. We need to align our conversation, amen, with the truth and speak the truth. And we are to bless and not curse. We know that the devil is the author of confusion. He wants to get people tied up in the things of this life because he wants to choke us out with temporary things. God wants his people to walk free from all idolatry and all hindrances. Anything, even good things that can be a hindrance in our race. You ever heard it said, you can have too much of a good thing? It is true. We need to live a disciplined life. And the Holy Spirit will help us do just that. He gives us the ability to control ourselves. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not of us, but he will give us the ability to do what we're called to do. And that is to discipline ourselves so that we might obey the will of God for our lives. The devil does not want any of us living in peace. Wherever there is a lack of peace, it means there's a lack of the Holy Spirit. Wherever there's a lack of peace in your life, it means there's a lack of God. Why? Because He is our peace. So if I find myself anxious in my thoughts, it means I need more of Him. I need Him to fill my heart. Amen? My thoughts, my mind. He gives us peace of heart, peace of mind. Amen? He will guard you. He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon Him. Amen? We're not to be anxious for anything. But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes what? Understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds. It'll guard your hearts and your minds. So the Lord is our stronghold. He's our defense. He's the one we run to. Amen. And we are safe. We are protected. We are kept in a supernatural bubble of His peace, if you will. Amen. So wherever God is not, there is chaos, there's confusion, there's a lack of peace, anxiety, right? So God doesn't want His people living in fear or anxiety or any of these things, but the enemy certainly does. He's a thief. He wants to rob you of what God freely gives you, often by keeping us unaware of what is freely available to us in Christ. If people don't know that there's peace in the Lord, they won't go to the Lord. The title of the message this morning is Avoiding the Devil's Trap. One of the biggest tools in his toolbox that the devil uses is offense. I've talked about this years ago, but it's something that we all deal with in life. Getting offended. But there's a difference between a momentary feeling of offense and living in offense. Everybody here gets offended sometimes. Amen? But that doesn't mean we have to live in an offense. We don't have to hold on to it. We don't have to harbor it. Amen? Because offended people offend people. Hurt people hurt people. Come on. God wants us whole. He wants us free. Amen? From offense. He wants us to be broken free, if you will, from the enemy's trap. And one of his traps is offense. In Matthew 18:7, Jesus said, "Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." The word is scandalon, the word for offenses. It means trap or snare. And this is, of course, the method that was used to ensnare unsuspecting animals. So the animal's safety is dependent upon its ability to recognize a threat. Come on. Its ability to sense the trap and to avoid it. How many love Psalms 91? One of my favorites. But verse 1 says, and this is where it all is based in. It's in His presence, all right? Everything flows out of that. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus, then all you're doing is trying to patch up your life. Amen? Because all peace, amen, true peace comes from Him. He is the Prince of Peace. He who dwells, remains, right, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. There's a confession of faith. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. There's the snare, which means a trapper of birds. You get the picture, all right? Of a trapper of birds who sets a snare to catch birds. And it says, and He will protect you also, or deliver you from the perilous pestilence. So, the bird's enemy is the fowler, all right? The trapper. And so a fowler or trapper of birds relies, again, on the animal's inability to sense danger and to resist the temptation. Now, I don't know if you've ever had vermin problems. You ever had mice or rats to deal with? Well, we have, and I remember when we were living in Korea, we had some pretty good-sized rats over there. And we rented this one house that was, the attic was infested with them. We didn't know it. Everything looked nice and clean on the inside. But you'd be laying down at night, and all of a sudden you're hearing this. And it's almost like you can see the ceiling going like this. They're so big. It's like cats running up in there. So we're like, oh. And like Bugs Bunny says, this means war. So it was on, you know. I was like, oh, no, we're not going to deal with this. So they don't have those little wimpy wooden kind of traps, you know. They have those bear claw things. Because oh. And you need them because otherwise they'll laugh at the wooden thing. But so I put up a bunch of traps up in the attic. I had to climb through a crawl space to get up in there. And the first time I put, I think it was some rice or something up in there because that's something they're used to eating. And but I wasn't catching anything. And so I thought, well, I got to step up my game a little bit here. And I think we've got peanut butter on the subject. Peanut butter and rice. Well, now it was a temptation. Are you hearing me? It was too irresistible. And those things are smart. You know, they're probably kind of, now how can I get that off there without getting stuck in this thing? Sometimes they don't know. They're clueless. And sometimes we're like that when it comes to the enemy and his traps. You know, we can be clueless sometimes and walk right into a trap and not be aware of it. That's why we have to be vigilant. Amen? We have to be vigilant. We have to be awake as if we're living in a place of danger or walking in a place of danger. Well, how many know that this world is dangerous? It's filled with devils. Amen? And so as God's people, we need to be vigilant. We need to be alert. We need to be watchful. Amen? That means we need to be prayerful. We need to keep oil in the lamp. Amen? So the light is on bright and we can see clearly to be able to discern the trap that the enemy is setting for us, even sometimes through relationships. And so the enemy is seeking to get us into this trap of offense, to get you offended at a brother or sister. There are a lot of people that quit coming to church or fellowship meetings because somebody offended them years ago. And they've held on to that. And say, well, you got one bad apple, it spoiled the whole, you know, bushel. And then you have other people that continue to come to church, but they're living in an offense. And so everything they see is from that view, okay, from the offense of the view of an offense. They're seeing through that offense. So the reason I want to bring this up, and I want to share a little bit about my own story, because I was offended. Maybe you've been offended. Maybe you are offended. Maybe there's something that you need to deal with. God knows, and you would know that. This may not be for everybody, but it's something we should guard against anyways, even if we're not in that offense. The enemy is constantly trying to get us at odds with each other, to cause division among brothers and sisters. Amen? And he wants to isolate God's people. He wants the sheep to get offended so it isolates itself, because an isolated sheep is a vulnerable sheep. A protected sheep is a sheep that's in fellowship. Come on, that is gathering with the flock in the fold with the Lord being shepherd over it. Amen? The Lord is the one who has called us to assemble. It's not man's idea. Amen? We were designed for each other. We're a body, amen, and every part is important. Because walking in an offense can have far-reaching negative impact on not only our lives, but the lives of others around us. Ever been around a bitter person? Constantly venting and complaining and, you know, Nothing is good. Nothing is right. Sometimes instead of dealing with the offense, people just decide, I want to hang on to it. Often because they deem the person who offended them unworthy of being released from it. Do you get that? I'm going to hold this against you as if somehow that's going to hurt that person. They may be going on their merry way. They're free from that thing. Then, in fact, they might not even know you were offended by them. And you are being held in that trap of offense because you refuse to release them from that. You're holding it against them. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold our sins against us? Truth is, none of us are worthy of God's mercy. Yet He sent Jesus to die in our place. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. If you hang out with a bitter person, guess what? It will influence you. The New Living Translation says, work at peace, or living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. In other words, we can be a corrupting force in this world if we are walking in an offense and we're holding on to offenses. It happens in marriages, amen, where there's a lack of forgiveness and reconciliation. That thing can grow up, amen. And then it destroys the harmony of the relationship. We don't want anything in our lives. I don't want anything in my life that's going to hinder my relationship with the Lord. It's much easier to overcome an offense if you deal with it right away. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, he didn't say never be angry. Anger is an emotion that God gave us. God gets angry. But don't allow your anger to lead you into sin. So uncontrolled anger can easily lead us into sin. So again, when it says don't allow the sun to go down on your wrath, it's saying deal with the offense right away, as soon as possible. Don't sweep it under the rug and hope it'll go away. You see, many people avoid any kind of confrontation. Sometimes there needs to be a confrontation. Amen? And at a minimum, you've got to make sure that you release that person from your heart. Amen? And not hold them to any offense that they may have caused in your life. And again, many times we offend people and are not even aware we've done it. Because often we are not doing it on purpose. Just some people are hypersensitive. Come on. And they're easily offended. You know, I've discovered something, that if I will stay in communion with Jesus and stay filled with the Spirit, amen, and clothed in His righteousness, come on, in His full armor, the enemy isn't getting me offended over everything. Come on. It's spilled milk. The stuff that used to offend me doesn't anymore. Come on. The Lord is our protection. So we need to guard ourselves because He is our strong tower. We run to Him. Amen? We dwell in Him. Abide in Him. Continue in fellowship with Him. Every day, it's good just to say, Lord, I ask You to clothe me in Your full armor from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen? Now, I know we can break that down and dice it up into different categories, but the bottom line is we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our protection. So, people are serving life sentences. An example. Amen? Due to uncontrolled anger. A weak moment. Some people are stuck in life because of offenses they've never dealt with. Sometimes that's why people are not able to move forward. It's because they haven't dealt with something like this that they've been holding on to. It could be a parent. It could be a spouse. It could be a sibling. It could be that old boss. Who knows? Old co-worker. But we have to let people go. Because when we release people from that, we release ourselves from any trap of the enemy. Keep ourselves free from that. We discern that, wait a minute, the devil's trying to get me upset. I mean, we can get offended going through the grocery line. You know what I'm saying? I've had my moments where I had to bite my tongue because they were rude or whatever. Ever go away venting after you went through the grocery line? Come on, let's be honest. We're going to have an altar call here in just a few minutes. Somebody, somewhere, amen, is going to rub you wrong, and you may not have anything to do with it. They just may be having a bad day, and you happen to be there. Well, again, we shouldn't cry over spilled milk, as they say, but we do need to deal with offense, whether it's large or small. Because we can also try to excuse ourselves in that and say, well, you don't know how bad it was or what they did to me. Let me correct that, because we don't know how bad our sin was and what it cost Jesus on the cross. Think of that. We offended Him. We offended God. And yet God took that for us. Forgiving others is vital to our spiritual health and our progress. Satan's goal is to offend you and to keep you in this trap of offense. He wants to rob you of your joy and your God-given destiny. And as long as we refuse to release others, we remain in that trap. There are even people involved in ministry that carry offense. There are bitter pastors. And it's easy to get offended, trust me, as a pastor. But this is especially dangerous because others can be defiled by their bitterness. Amen? When I was a youth leader starting out in ministry, I had a situation where there was a misunderstanding by the leadership. I was in a larger church in Tacoma, and I was doing everything that I knew to do that was right, but the senior pastor had misinterpreted and misunderstood something. And sometimes because somebody had said something to him and he didn't vet it, he just assumed it was correct. Mm-hmm. And so often it's not what happens to us, it's how do we respond to what happens to us. See, that's what God's looking at. How do you respond to what happened to you? Not what happened to you. What was your attitude about it? So, long story short, I got offended at this pastor because he was not fair to me, I felt. So I left. That's it. I quit. I'm leaving. And I never dealt with that. So I took that offense with me. And I ended up going to 4 different churches in 1 year, 3 months here, 3 months there. If I mention the churches, you probably know them. Some of them are large because I could just disappear in the crowd. Until one day I got a revelation. Because that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. And all of a sudden the Lord says, you're the one that ain't right. I had to get right. I was blaming everybody else, you know, the blame game. I'd be a good pastor if it wasn't for the people. You know? remember hearing called a pineapple story about a missionary who had said that because they were the natives. It was in Ecuador, I think. They were headhunters, but they were constantly stealing everything. He says the bananas never turned yellow. They were still green, and they would take them because somebody else would get them first. And he says one day we noticed that our baby pens were gone for our kids. They had a family out there in the hut, living in this condition. And then we noticed one of the natives was wearing the baby pins for special earrings. And one day I was trying to find my ink pen. I couldn't find my ink pen. And another native came up with a special nose ornament. And of course, he says it was really easy to find the clothing because they didn't wear any. So one day they came up and they're wearing my wife's shirt. So the Lord was teaching them a lesson in forgiveness. Come on. And that they needed to change their attitude. And they had to be patient in the process and know God was able to do something there. And in time, God redeemed them. Well, what started happening is they started stealing their pineapples. All right? And so he just got upset with God. God, I can't do this anymore. Everything they steal everything. And so God says, well, why don't you just give me those pineapples? Give them to me. Okay. God, I don't own anything. It's all yours. It's all our stuff. He said, we give it to you. All of a sudden, people are getting sick. Miscarriages. Something's going on. Something shifted. Something changed in the tribe. And one day he walks outside and guess what he finds on his doorstep? Pineapples. They said, we don't know what you did, but you pray to your God to take this curse off of us. Come on. He didn't curse anybody. He just said, Lord, it's your property. And the Lord got their attention. And guess what? There was a revival that broke out. Those people got saved. Come on. That's how God works. So even through an offense, you can learn from it. You ever heard it said, this really connects to forgiveness, doesn't it? You owe me. You owe me for that. I'm going to hold you to that. Well, you're holding yourself captive by doing that. And guys, do you believe that God's grace is sufficient? Yes. It's more than enough. I mean, some of you have some horror stories worse than mine. Amen. But we've all gone through stuff. We've all had stuff happen to us in our past. But God is able to make all grace abound. And it doesn't matter how severe it was. His grace is greater. God can heal you. God can liberate your soul from that trap of offense that you're holding towards that parent or that uncle or whatever it was, whoever it was. Do you get it? God in his mercy, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We forgive those who trespass against us. And we do it by the grace of God. Because in our humanity, we're incapable sometimes of letting certain things go. We just need to say, God, I need your help to let this person go, to release them. It doesn't mean you have to bring them back in your life again. Are you hearing me? You don't have to subject yourself to abuse, but you do need to let that person go. And say, Lord, I release this person. I give them to you. They're no longer, amen, a captive to me. And therefore, I am free from this person too. Would you agree with me that there are certain relationships you should avoid? It's not good for you. It's not worth it. In fact, I'm even going to go this far. Even terrorists are not the real enemy. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Behind the terrorist. Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, was once a terrorist. Terrorized the church. He was captured by the enemy. He had a religious spirit until God set him free from that. Amen. Your neighbor is not your real enemy. Your relatives are not your real enemy. Come on. What's the key? Ephesians 6:10, you know it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. If we don't get this right, nothing else is going to work. Your help comes from Him. Amen? Your strength comes from Him. Your peace comes from Him. Your ability to forgive comes from Him. Ask Him for the help that you need to forgive. I discovered something when I began to pray for people with the same passion I pray for myself, for their forgiveness. God bless them. At first it's like, oh, this hurts even. But God, I'm asking You to bless them. God, I'm asking You to save them, to change them, to wake them up. Have mercy on them. And as you pour out your heart, you'll find the love of God filling your vessel, your heart. And you can find yourself loving an enemy. Jesus wouldn't tell us to love our enemies if it was not possible. We can love them with the love of the Lord. And if the love of the Lord is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you have the capability of forgiving and even praying and blessing those who curse you. By His grace. Amen? We're not like just trying to work for God. We're walking with God. We're doing life with God. Amen? And He gives us the grace we need to do these things, to keep ourselves free from the devil's trap. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the schemings or the wiles of the enemy, right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual, what? Hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is our real battle. Our battle is in the spirit realm. Deal with it in the spirit, and things will transform outwardly in the natural. God begins at the heart level. When our hearts change, our lives change. Our attitudes change. The way we see things change when our hearts are changed. What we see in the natural is a result of the invisible world. Let me say this. Obedience is an action, not a feeling. Obedience is an action, not a feeling. If you live by your feelings, you'll be disobedient. You take action. You act upon the Word of God, and good feelings will follow your faith. God will reward you with His peace and His deliverance, if you obey Him. Many times, once a person confesses and renounces their sin or forgives somebody, the deliverance takes place right away. The enemy no longer has a place. He has to go. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we want to cast demons out. Sometimes we need to bring that person to a place of forgiveness first. So they shut the door. Amen? So the enemy has no longer a place where he can get in. Access. Offense gives the enemy access to torment you. God says He'll turn you over to the tormentors until you forgive. Some people are tormented because they refuse to forgive people that have hurt them. But again, we remember the sacrifice of our Lord. And the price that He paid, a perfect one. who died a brutal death on our behalf. He didn't deserve the cross, but he laid his life down willingly for us. How great is the Father's love? How great is his mercy? How great are the things, Lord, you've done for me? Would you take a moment to bow your heads this morning? Has the Lord spoke to you about someone in your past that you haven't forgiven? You haven't released from that offense? If so, ask the Lord right now, Jesus, I'm asking you for the grace to truly from my heart forgive that person, to release them from this debt. As you forgive me. If God brought somebody, maybe you saw a picture, a mental picture of somebody. I want you to speak to them right now and say, in the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive you. I release you from this debt. You no longer owe me anything. You are free to go. And I am free from this offense in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you would seal every open door with your blood today. Every open door to an offense, to an unresolved issue. God, this morning we're asking for grace right now for each one that may still be dealing with these things, these feelings, Lord, of hatred even towards people that have been so cruel. And yes, maybe even deserve to be judged, but yet in your mercy, you forgave us so we could escape that judgment. My God, I thank you for your mercy today. I thank you, Lord, that you forgave us at the cross, that your blood was shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we have a place at your table now, that we can dine in your presence now, that we can come with confidence before you by way of the blood and make our petitions known. We can pray now, God, and you hear us. Forgive. Just tell that person, I release you, I forgive you. And thank you, Jesus, that I am forgiven. Now seal this, Lord, in your blood. And even as you no longer hold our sins against us, Lord, may we do likewise. The Bible says that love keeps no record of wrongs. And so in God's love today, we release those who trespass against us. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, your body. Make us pure in your sight. Lord, we pray, fill up every void in our hearts this morning. Would you tell them, Lord, fill up every void, every empty place in me, with your holy presence. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Amen. Just like he loved us, because he wants us to have his joy. Hallelujah. So in the early Corinthian church, they had issues, nothing new under the sun. They had disagreements, they had falling outs. They were a rowdy bunch, you know. But God in his mercy brings forgiveness, restoration. And today the Lord reconciles us through his blood. Amen. So we can with confidence now partake of the Lord's Supper with a clear conscience today, having our conscience sprinkled by the blood of Christ. Amen. It's good to be free. It's good to be free from a guilty conscience. Amen. If you confess your sins, come on. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Receive the word of the Lord today. Receive your forgiveness today. Amen. It's a choice to believe. It's not a feeling. And the feelings will follow your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was broken for us. Amen. That we might be made healed. That we might be made whole. There's healing available today. So Lord, thank you for your broken body on our behalf. And as we partake of this together, Lord, we pray for the impartation of your healing power throughout the body, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And after they had the agape feast, the celebration, if you were their potluck, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. And he would take the cup, the third cup representing marital wine, meaning this represents our marriage, our covenant we have agreed to. When you take the cup, you're saying, Lord, I agree to the covenant. I'm no longer my own. I belong to you. Amen. Amen. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord has gone away to prepare a table for us. Amen. A place for us. And he's coming to receive us, his bride, that where he is, we may also be. Amen. He's coming, our bridegroom. We say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take together. Hallelujah. Glory to God.